Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. I'm always delighted that you take time out of your busy schedule, busy lives, to join me here and listen to this great conversation that we have with the successful women around the globe. This week is no exception because my guest is multi-award-winning storyteller and filmmaker, Narissa Street. She's the founder of Be Your Own Answer, Self-Care for Leaders Movement, and Girls Call the Shots, a teen girls film and media camp. She has quietly coached thousands of professionals by flipping the script on generally accepted facts. She's known as the possibility guru and has traveled globally bringing compelling and unexpected tools for growth and transcendence. Her book, 31 Days of Yes, gives you authentic daily practices to care for yourself, and she's recently spoken at South by Southwest, the Global Innovation Conference in Austin, Texas. So it's going to be a great interview, and I'd love to hear your feedback from it, which you can do by commenting on all your podcast outlets and iTunes, and leave me reviews, comments, or better yet, share it with any phenomenal women you know. So hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. And this week, I'm joined by yet another Narissa, Narissa Street, who I believe is now in Florida with some very stormy weather. Welcome to Phenomenal Woman, Narissa.
Thank you so much for having me, Janice. How are you?
I am fabulous, thank you. A little hot being out here, but I shouldn't complain. Now, Narissa, I would have done a very brief bio about your background, but obviously it's all about you, so you can tell us a lot more about who you are and where you come from.
Okay, well, I am a few things, but I think the best way to describe myself is a storyteller for the future you.
Okay.
So I work with businesses, I work with leaders, artists with a positive and impactful message to help make their vision plain and make their story attractive to the audiences who will not only hear it, but take action. And I do that through transformative storytelling. It's something that I've had a passion for several years. Right. It's taken me through a formal academic education in theater.
Okay.
It's taken me through formal academic education in business. And it's taken me all over the world doing workshops for youth, for adults, for seniors, for professionals, anyone who wants to transform their story, flip the script, as we call it, to move themselves into a preferable future. So I'm working now with the project called Be Your Own Answer.
Right.
And it's specifically to leaders who want to make sure that not only is their message heard, but their message is sustained and maintained for several years to come. So we're working on the Self-Care for Leaders project and doing a lot of events, live events, creating documents and creating resources for leaders who want to sustain their message and, of course, therefore, care for their followers.
Right. Right.
And so that's a major work that I'm working on. And Girls Call the Shots is my love for the next generation. So I work with teen girls who are demonstrating leadership and who want to use media and storytelling to create their preferable future. So sometimes we do visual storytelling, sometimes we do storytelling labs and media labs, and sometimes we do work that's just on empowerment and and self-esteem and things along those nature. So those are my two major things. I think that speaks a lot to who I hope to show up as in the world. And I would say that the people around me are amazing. I think I am a recipient of a lot of grace. And there are people who support the work that I do that I am so grateful for. And I hope that I take care of them. I hope that I am providing a positive vision for them. And I hope that I just am encouraging them to care for themselves and to live a joyful, happy life.
Excellent. Now, transformative storytelling, that's I think a new concept for me and probably for some of our listeners. So could you give, is it possible to give a brief example of what that would look like?
Sure. It's a very, I can give a very, very quick example.
Yeah.
There is a game that we play in theater called Not the End of the Story. It has several different names, but Not the End of the Story is the best way to say it. So it starts something like this. You're in a room full of people and you start them with the beginning of a story.
Okay.
You go to each person in the room and you say to them, please help me continue telling the story, except you'll need to start the story with one of two words, either fortunately or unfortunately.
Okay.
So when you start the story, you start the story with something like a man broke his leg. You go to the first person and you say, okay, well, continue the story with fortunately. And the person will go, well, fortunately, he didn't break it all the way through. And then you say to the next person, start your story with unfortunately. Well, unfortunately, he had no doctor. Okay.
Right.
So we continue a story like that. And if you find yourself anywhere in that story, it can either be going really well for the person or it can be going in a negative direction. Transformative storytelling, it has everything to do with reframing the story that people are currently telling themselves about a circumstance, about themselves, and taking them out of that unfortunately frame of mind and putting them into the fortunately frame of mind. And it's different for everybody. It's not just the switch that you can turn on and off. There are certain principles that have to be activated and engaged and taught so that when you're taking them out of that unfortunately frame of mind, it's something true for them.
Yeah.
And it's not some sort of band-aid that, oh, well, in times of stress, you'll go back to the previous frame of mind that you had before. Right. So it's a series of principles that has to be taught. It's a series of practices that has to be taught. And depending on someone's desire, they can either do the superficial stuff or we can work deeper with them. We do workshops. I wrote a book, all that other kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that people can practice it and take it and really integrate it into their daily living. Because it's not in a workshop that it's hard.
It's
outside of the workshop.
Yeah.
It's after I finish talking. Yeah. It's when you've gone home and something occurs. And so you need to be able to really work and change the frame of mind because it's our mindset.
Yes,
that determines our life. It's not the circumstances that occur to us. It's not the events. It's not the great fortune that we have. It's our mindset. Because you could be the most well provided for, have amazing people around you, have great health, but if your mind is in a state of hell, then it does nothing of that is of any benefit to you. So it's really about helping people integrate the tools that will allow them to make their mind an ally.
Right. Okay. 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 So it's not a conventional, I should say, a conventional career. So how did you come into this career choice, Marissa?
Oh my Lord. Kicking and screaming. Kicking and screaming.
Why?
Okay. So I'll be honest, when I first started to go into college and career, I wanted something normal. What I did know is that I love to write.
Right.
And I love to tell stories. So, of course, you write, you tell stories, you go into journalism. That's the way that you make money.
Okay. Okay.
And so I went into journalism and found that that was not the way to go for me because I didn't like the deadlines. I didn't like that I wrote something and then when it came out, it was completely different than what I wrote.
Yes.
And so I, at the same time that something like that was going on, I got really sick in college and came home, and being the good girl that I am, I got over my sickness and went to work, went to a job.
Right.
And just found I wasn't happy at the job, but that it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to bring money into the house.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be sitting around. And all of that continued to evolve. So it's a very long story and I'll make it succinct. The succinct part of it is this. I was putting myself into useful places, right? I was trying to pursue a useful, traditional, progressive and professional career.
Yeah.
And those things were never working for me.
Yeah.
My personality would pop up and I would try to be positive in a place where everybody else was negative and, you know, repeating all of the sad stories of the world.
Yes.
I would always find the solutions to every problem. When everyone else was determined that something was going to be a problem, I was always the person bringing solutions. And it never worked.
Right.
That's an entrepreneur's frame of mind.
Yes.
Solution bringing is entrepreneurial. And so that never worked in corporate world. In the corporate world, you toe the line, you do what you're supposed to do, and you move on. And it just never worked. And it was so disheartening. I began to question why I couldn't just be a normal person and sit at my desk and plan events or do whatever the job was. Why did I have to always be the person bringing the light and bringing the whatever?
Yeah.
Why couldn't I just be normal? So I was just in that frame of mind, and my mother dragged me to a spiritual center.
Okay.
And the spiritual center had a congregation full of progressive thinkers and entrepreneurialist spirits and leaders and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I'm not an oddball. I'm just in the wrong place.
Right.
And that was it. I had a really great mentor who was a stickler for excellence. And I found that the things that I was doing were really my call for excellence. Right. I wanted things to be done in an excellent manner. And so it was great. I found a mentor. And all of a sudden, I was recognized for that storytelling as opposed to before being vilified.
Yeah.
And it brought a certain amount of... it brought a certain amount of attention that I was not ready for.
Okay.
And I, as I said, kicking and screaming, attention I was not ready for. And I started to shrink and I started not to move toward the assignment that my soul had joyfully accepted. Yes. You know, your soul is like, yes, this is our way we're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And the rest of your body and your mentality is like, no, no, we're not going in this direction, because then people are going to look at you.
Yeah.
And people are going to be judging you and all this other kind of stuff. So all of my stuff started to come up, and I started to go back to that corporate world.
Okay.
And of course, a mind expanded past its former limitations can no longer fit back into that box.
Right.
That didn't work, and this is where we are.
So it seems to me like, you know, just reading into that, you almost had like what I call the conformity battle. So you started off trying to conform to societal norms, what was expected, you know, about parents, society. So you had that battle. Then you realize, well, actually, there's somewhere you can fit in, but you were still battling with that as well.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, and this is the thing, a lot of times we make up that our families and the people around us are judging us harshly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really us. So the battle really, and again, as I said, it's everything about mindset. The battle was internal.
Yes.
And the people around me were concerned about my well-being only because what they were seeing was the internal struggle.
Right.
And so when you have an internal struggle, it shows up externally.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're like, well, you know, why are you doing all that stuff? If, you know, you're upset all the time, and why are we don't understand why don't you just go get another job?
Yeah.
So, you know, every time you show up and you're not clear, the things that are not clear are going to show up with you.
Yeah. How did it manifest itself for you when you were going through that, just that turmoil? How did it manifest itself?
That's such a great question. It manifested itself financially. That's the easiest place, and that's the place where most people see it. I'd get a client and something would happen and I couldn't follow through, or I'd get a client and they wanted to bargain my prices, or they couldn't afford me, but it was really a job I really wanted to do, or something along those lines. So financial, the first thing, and you have to, as somebody who has an intangible service, if you don't understand the value of your service,
very much,
the first issue you're going to have always is going to be financial.
So that was
the first one.
And I think one of the challenges is that we don't always recognize, like you say, an intangible service. We don't actually recognize our worth or accept our worth, and we struggle with that as well, because we feel we're not worthy, if that makes sense.
Oh gosh, yes. That is a big thing. I mean, the worthiness conversation.
Yeah.
I was just having a conversation with someone who was a client and is now a friend, and we were having this conversation about joy.
Yes.
And I said, it's useful for you to be happy, because we had this conversation about how, as women, our go-to is to be useful in whatever situation, in whatever, especially as, especially where we are as minority women, you know, in order for you to take up a space, you need to be useful.
Yes.
And so what happens is that your joy and your happiness gets pushed to the background, because the goal for the time that you're in this space that you're kind of sort of not supposed to be in is to be useful, so that that's your buy-in to the space. And so my conversation with her is, your joy is useful, because if you're happy wherever you show up, people are happy to see you.
Right.
And when you're happy, you're clear and you can see where you're best suited to be of service. And you can see where you can, hey, just bring a smile to the other people in the room, which is useful enough on its own.
So
we have to be clear that part of that worthiness conversation, and a colleague of mine has actually also written a book on worthiness, which I love. Part of that worthiness conversation is coming first to an understanding that your joy is useful.
Okay. Okay, I'm just making a note of that. So, Narissa, it seems to me that just getting to where you are now, you've had to manage, overcome a number of challenges. So, a couple of questions here for you there from that. What would have been, you say, was the most satisfying challenge you've overcome?
I love that. The most satisfying challenge I've overcome has been, good Lord, that's a great question. The most satisfying challenge I've overcome has been the challenge of friendship.
Okay.
I'm still overcoming it. Right. Let me be clear. I'm still overcoming it, but it's satisfying in that as I'm overcoming it, I'm starting to see the truth, my truth, right?
Okay.
So the challenge of friendship being this, as a leader and as someone who's a progressive thinker and someone who thinks very vision-oriented and all this kind of thing, the people that you're around may not see what you see.
Very much, yes.
And sometimes that means one of two things. Sometimes that means you're going to take them with you.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of, hey, this is where I see where I see myself going. It'd be awesome if you come with me. Or if this is where I see the world going. It'd be awesome if you helped us get there. Or this is what I see my community looking like. And you have people around who are either entertained by that. Like, oh my gosh, there she is. She's going to do something else. That's so cool. You know, I love watching you. You're awesome.
Yeah.
And then you have people who are confronted by that. Like, gosh, you're always doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I have these things that I think about doing, but I just don't know, you know, what to do about them. Or, you know, it's something that you can do, but I don't think I can do it.
Right.
Right. Or why do you always have to be so busy?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, or you have people who are like, gosh, you know, that's dope what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm doing this thing too. And I'm like, oh, cool. I love what you're doing. That's cool. Can I help? You know, so like friendship in the space of leadership is something that is sometimes hard to navigate because people are connecting with you based on what they see you accomplishing and less on what they see you as being.
Right.
Yeah. So I've found some really, really amazing people who see me, like who I am, not the things that I do.
Yes.
And who giggle with me when I just need to play, or who hold me when I need to cry.
Right.
You know, and those people are amazing, but those people are people who weren't in my life to begin with when I started this.
Right. Okay.
So that's a thing that as somebody who is visionary and moving forward and doing all sorts of great things, you have to be comfortable with the fact that you're social circle transforms along with you.
Yes.
And I wasn't. Right. I wasn't comfortable with that. I was like grabbing on and holding on to people like, oh, please, come with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes come with me.
Yeah, and we just have to let them go. So conversely, Narissa, has there been a time where you've confronted a challenge and things haven't gone quite right, and it's really maybe impacted your confidence?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
You say that so easily.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's the thing that, and one of the reasons I'm doing this series called Self-Care for Leaders.
Right.
Is there's this thing called imposter syndrome.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And imposter syndrome is when you're in a space and you feel like you're not supposed to be in that space.
Yeah.
Okay. So part of the reason you feel like you're not supposed to be in that space is because you haven't fully exposed who you are.
Yeah.
Right? If you feel like you have to hide something, and gosh, if I open and they see it and whatever, then they're going to see it and then they're going to kick me out of the space that somehow I bogarted my way into. Right? And so the challenge, you know, that impacted me is when I was starting to move into this line of work where I'm a speaker, and even saying that sounds funny, you know, where I'm a speaker and I'm saying things about storytelling. The challenge was owning that, and owning that in most circles, that meant that I needed to present myself in a certain manner.
Yes, yes.
But I don't.
Yeah.
So part of that self-care is accepting who you really show up as, and understanding that who I show up as is going to attract a certain kind of person.
Right.
And accepting that. And accepting that, oh my gosh, and the people who would show up when you put on a certain kind of garb or put on a certain kind of mask, those people that show up, you always feel like an imposter because they're not supposed to be there, because you're not being true.
Yes.
As a leader, if you just show who you are, the true people that are supposed to be behind you show up.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who help your vision move forward. And they never look like who you think they're supposed to look like. They just don't. This whole conversation, we're such a visually oriented society, just it globally. We're just visual, especially with the social media, with the Insta this and the face that and whatever.
Yes.
So much about people showing up. Numbers, like we want to have this amount of followers, and you're looking in the crowd and the crowd needs to look a certain way.
Right.
When you do a workshop, at least for me, I find I do a workshop and the people that show up there may not look, you know, the numbers, maybe whatever the numbers are, but the people who show up there, they're leaders for, you know, this amount of people or they're whatever. But of course, they're not showing up the way that your ego, that your mentality expects. So the conversation about just be who you are and trust that. Trust who you are. Say yes to who you are. I wrote a book, 31 Days of Yes.
Yes.
And the things that I talk about, and that has everything to do with how to transform that story. We're going back to that story.
Right. Okay.
Saying yes to everything that you are, everything. And being okay with how it shows up.
Yeah.
You know, I just, That's a challenge that is constant, particularly because of how the world is now, where everything is visual.
Very much.
And I just, this is what I look like. This is how I show up.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will be magnificent. Sometimes I'll be manageable. You know?
I love that. Manageable. So,
that's how I show up today.
But it is a challenge. I mean, I think especially as women and female leaders, but I mean, I can speak from my own experience, you know, becoming the first female for an organization where I am in the industry.
Wow.
You did kind of second guess. You could sometimes second guess yourself, you know, why am I here? And I always had to keep telling myself, well, you know, if I didn't deserve to be here, I wouldn't have been.
Right.
Because no one's going to entrust their business to me. To make it fail,
absolutely.
You know, I do understand that battle, and even more so going through my own career change after that. It's like, you know, okay, I've done that, and I'm changing again now. You know, do I know? Am I comfortable with who I'm becoming? And
yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. I left it because I wasn't happy how it made me in that role.
Yeah. And here's the thing about that. One of the things about being a woman in leadership is that we are born resilient, right? Yeah. And that's one thing. The other thing about being a woman in leadership is that our power is in our vision, yeah, and in our speaking and in our words and in the way that we are able to communicate a vision in such a strong manner,
yeah, yeah,
that it will come to us.
Yeah.
It is who we are that sets up the world around us.
Definitely.
So, and I think this is a thing that a lot of women don't understand, and I'm coming into it myself, but when we communicate our pleasure with ourselves, I'll just say it that way. When we communicate our pleasure with ourselves in our beingness, as well as in how we speak to each other in a positive and enlightening and in an uplifting, yes, manner, how we speak about the things that we love and about the things that we desire in our world, if we stay true to that,
yeah,
no matter what's going on around us, when everybody else around us is speaking negatively, if we stand in our ability to create, you understand that we are born, yeah, with the ability to bring something physically,
yes,
into manifestation. Like, we've got a constant reminder of that, whether you have had a hysterectomy or not,
yeah,
when you were born on the planet, in your DNA was the ability to physically bring something from the invisible to the visible. And that is not just in your physical body, that's in your soul. Like, you can do that with your words. We do it with our body, but you can do it with your words. You can, yes, do that with your mentality. So if you have that and you understand that,
yes,
then you walk in the world with a certain sense of joy,
yeah,
because it's right there. It's right at your fingertips. You walk in the world with a certain sense of worthiness. You walk in the world with a certain sense of peace. This is the most important thing, the peace.
Right.
Your peace. I think it was said, a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Your peace. Because you are of a feminine energy, and even men, if they tap into their feminine energy, can do this. Your peace, when you walk into a place, a center, a community, a town, a room, a job, if you've got peace, when you walk in, the place cannot help but be transformed,
right,
by what you bring.
Yes.
And when we walk into places and we see disorder and we see disharmony and we co-sign on it, it remains. We can't co-sign on that stuff.
Right.
And in order to be able to not co-sign on it, because that's our default.
Yes.
In order to be able to not co-sign on it, you have to care for yourself. Yes. Self-care, yes, is,
yeah,
paramount, because the default is going to be, I'm going to co-sign on it. And it is us. We are the ones who are allowing it to remain.
Right. 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 Very powerful. Very powerful. Very powerful. So Narissa, let me change tack a little bit. If you could go back after all that and all things you've been through, if you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
I don't know. I why I say that? I don't know what I would change.
Right.
Because so much of it is what has created the place where I am now.
Right.
Maybe what I would, here's what I might do differently. I would learn financial management quicker.
Okay.
That I think it would be, yeah, that would be the thing, because, you know, financial management, and that's a basic skill and tool.
Right.
once you get that under your belt, and again, this is a self-care conversation. Once you get that under your belt, there's certain things that you can just relax on because you know those things are taken care of.
Right.
But if you don't have that, then, you know, then there's issues that you have to deal with that you shouldn't have to. But right. financial management, and that has nothing to do with the type of job that I would take. That has everything to do with managing whatever is in front of me, whether it's $5 or $50,000.
Okay. So share with us a success quote or mantra, Narissa, that you would use and why it's meaningful for you.
Well, the big one is your joy is useful. So your joy is useful. I have one that I have on my mirror. Again, this is about you taking care of yourself.
Yes.
So this is a long one, but I'll see here. It is, dear Holy Spirit, ignite the wisdom and the boldness within my soul to do the things I need to and to surrender to the good and juicy.
Good and juicy.
I
didn't expect the good and juicy.
Good and juicy. Let me tell you something. Juicy is, you know what I'm saying? Like we don't do enough juicy things. Things that just, you know, I love mangoes. And so mangoes are everywhere in my work. Like, and summer is here, which is like, what?
Yes.
Mangoes. I'm concerned about the weather, though. I hope they don't, you know, hope it doesn't affect the mango crop. But we're seeing some nice mangoes in our area, and so I'm getting ready to start my summer experience with mangoes. But I mean, juicy is the thing where it's flavorful, it's enjoyable, and it's running over. You know what I'm saying? Like it's coming out of your mouth. There's more than enough.
I can visualize a juicy mango as you're saying it.
Yes. And you're like, you're slurping up the juice, and you want to experience, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You want to experience every part of it, and you are not, you're bold about it. You're not self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about what people are looking at. It's juicy. I want it. Yeah. I want more of it. I'm going to dive into the experience. Juicy. Yep.
I can see you enjoying that. So Narissa, do you have any practical tips on building confidence? You know, some people
practical tips in building confidence. So a big one is look in the mirror and find something to like. The mirror.
Yes.
Because we do a lot of you know, you write down your visualizations, and I'm gonna write this list, and I'm gonna do this manifestation and whatever. Yes. And looking in the mirror, Louise Hayes popularized it.
Right.
Looking in the mirror. The issue with the mirror is this. It's not about what you do that's in the mirror. It's you, it's who you are. So like, yeah, you could do some exercise and, you know, you can get yourself those nice abs and whatever else.
Yeah.
But when you look in the mirror, primarily it is about the person and not the thing that you've been doing and not the accomplishment and not the degree and not the whatever. It is you with you, and find something, not the thing. Okay. You know, I worked really hard on this behind. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the mirror is perfect because it's you. It's you speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
And another thing for self-confidence, something that's really amazing, is to listen to even the most frivolous thoughts that you have. Like, listen meaning like, you don't have to follow everything.
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, you get a passing thought based on something that's in social media or something you heard someone else say. But there are some thoughts that you find like, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Just listen to it. Hear it out. Just pay attention to all of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a moment, and then if you want to discard them afterwards.
Yeah.
But that practice helps you start to see which thoughts are just passing,
yes.
right? And that somebody else said, and you just whatever, and which thoughts return, which
yeah.
thoughts are patterns.
Yeah.
And then you can start to, like, when you become more self-aware, then you can start making choices about them. So again, we're going back to what I spoke about the default.
Right.
So, this is a pattern. This is my self-critical thought is a pattern, or my always giving myself the benefit of the doubt, which I would love to hear people do.
Right.
That's a pattern. That's a positive pattern.
Yeah.
Not everybody does that.
Yeah.
So hearing those things and starting to get an understanding of who and what you are,
yeah,
helps you start to accept yourself.
Yeah.
Because confidence is everything about accepting.
So I think it's one thing we don't do very often. We don't listen to ourselves, you know, or mm-hmm. if a thought pops in our head, we're very dismissive. Like you say, we don't give ourselves a chance to say, let me just hear this. Let me just listen. Where's it going? Why is it telling mm-hmm. me this? You know, and just explore it. Like you say, explore it a little further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what has been a book, Narissa, that's influenced you? I know you've written your own book, but what has been a book that's influenced you throughout your own career journey? And, you know, why has that been meaningful for you?
Okay, let me make sure I heard you correctly. You're asking me what book has influenced my career journey?
Yes.
Okay. One of the books that I go back to all the time is a Gary Zukav book.
Right.
And it's called The Heart of the Soul. It's a fantastic book. Not well known, but The Heart of the Soul. It's a fantastic book, and it really talks about self-awareness and some of the things that we think we're self-aware. We're not. You're not self-aware. You think you're self-aware. And the thing is it has everything to do with the fact that most people, and I'm sure the people that listen to your podcast are like this, most people have done some sort of self-development.
Right.
And because you've done some sort of self-development, you feel really good about recognizing certain things and shifting your thinking and all that other kind of making lists.
Yeah.
And, you know, putting routines in place to help you, you know, keep yourself on track, right? But there are still very subtle things that we have ingrained in our behaviors, in our thinking patterns, that even the person who's gone to all the self-development workshops, that we default to, because again, these are things that are in our consciousness. These are things that are in our communities. These are things that, you know, are in the
yes.
rooms that we walk into.
Yes.
So I
yes.
really, that's an amazing book. I go back to it a lot.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. And what advice, now looking back a little bit now, what advice would you give to your teenage self?
That's a great question. So I love the teenage self that I was.
Okay.
She was very vulnerable.
Yes.
She's very vulnerable. She's very sensitive. She saw people. She saw unfairness in the world, and she saw unfairness even in her high school. She was very loyal to her friends. And because of all that
yes.
sensitivity and all that kind of stuff, she was hurt all the time. All the time. OMG, she was hurt all the
yeah.
time. People just hurt her feelings, stepped all of them all the time.
Right.
What I would do, going to my younger self, is I would tell her that you're okay. Like you're a great and amazing person. She probably wouldn't believe me. Let's be frank.
Right. Yes.
She probably wouldn't believe me. She would probably be like, who are you? And you look a lot like me, except like with a wrinkle or two and some really weird hair. But I don't know what you're talking about. Life is just, you know, people are so unfair to each other and everything like that. So yeah. I would love to be able to say to her that you're an amazing being.
Yes.
And you deserve everything that is bubbling up in your very, very tender and wild, aggressive heart.
Lovely. And it's gonna be
however, she might not believe me. And right. I think that's another thing as well for us thinking about the young people who are coming up. One of the reasons I work with teen girls is you don't believe the first person who tells you you're amazing.
Right.
But you believe like the 10th.
So
the more people that we can put in front of teen girls to tell them that they're amazing,
yes,
the more people that we can have reinforcing them, then at some point the seed goes fully into the ground.
Right.
So hopefully if I were to go back to my younger self, I would be the 10th person to say something to her. But as I said, you know, you tend to believe not the first person. As a teenager, you don't believe the first person. You believe the 10th person. So,
Right. And Larissa, if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's an easy one. That's Ava DuVernay.
Okay.
And in my mind, she's my mentor. She and I'll say it to you this way. Everyone who puts themselves out publicly,
yes,
and is transparent about some portion of their journey,
yes,
is a mentor to the rest of us.
Yeah.
In so far as we are willing to take lessons from them.
Right.
So I would definitely choose Ava DuVernay for a few reasons. Number one, she has produced her own work.
Yes.
And produced it at a very high standard. And that's because, as I said before, she was unrelentless. She was unfailing and relentless. Yes. Let's put the two of those together. She was unfailing and relentless about believing in the value of the story that she had to tell.
Right.
So she connected with artists who believed in the story as well, and she put her own money on the line to do it, and she made sacrifices to do it. And that's where I am right now, putting my own resources on the line, putting my time on the line, trying to make sure that the stories that I want to tell are honed well enough that when I approach other artists, editors, because I'm in love with film, artists, editors, filmmakers, actors, when I approach them with my script and with my story, they're excited to be a part of it because they can see me all over it. They can see that I have put in the time.
Yes.
They can see that I've done the research and that I'm willing to go the distance to get the story told right.
Yes.
And I think she's that person, at least from what I see.
Yeah.
And she is always speaking positively. If you see everything she says, I have not seen her say anything negative about anyone. What I have seen her do is speak the truth about circumstances and situations and she speaks the truth through her work.
Yes.
Her work speaks it.
Yes. Yeah. Great choice.
So that's what I'm hoping.
Great choice.
I would love to meet her. I would love if she comes up with some sort of intern.
Put it out then, Arisa.
Fellowship, the DuVernay Fellowship. I will be applying. I will apply every year until I am accepted. I will try not to be a complete goofball when I meet her. You know, I will try my best not to be a complete goofball. And it's not the whole kind of celebrity thing. It is that you exist, like the thing that I see for myself exists.
Yes.
And because it exists, like my confidence is even 10 times more stronger.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of goofball, like you're, thank you so much for speaking and being out here and helping me stay focused on the thing that I see for myself.
And that it's possible. That it's possible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's possible. So, Narissa, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
What are the three things I've learned about myself?
Yes.
I love solving problems. Woo! I don't even know what to do with that. I just love solving problems. That's just something I hated jigsaw puzzles because there's always, when I was younger, because there's always a piece missing and that didn't make any sense to me. I hated them, right?
Right.
But solving problems, finding the way out, that is something that I've learned that it's just a thing. That's part of my spiritual DNA.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Number two, I love people.
Okay.
Just people in general.
Yes.
I love people who are afraid. I love people who are bold.
Right.
I love people who are annoyed with life. I love people who are frustrated. I love people who are angry. I love kids. Because they're just all kinds of like showing you who they are and they don't really even care.
Yeah.
I love older people. I love young people. I just love people. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes I have to go back and reinforce my self-care so that I can continue to love people from an overflow. And the last thing I've learned about myself. I am okay with being a messy person.
Right. Nice.
Phew.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And awesome. You know, I mean, I'm slightly okay. Let's be real. I'm slightly okay with being a messy person, but I've come to accept that it is my default and that it's my default and that when my space is in order, like I'm excited and it's beautiful and it's great, things go in their place and it's exciting, and then when I get involved in a project I go back to my default, which is a mess person.
Right. So
I'm okay with that, and I would love to be able to hire somebody to help me keep my space in order. I am actually actively working on my budget as we went back to financial planning. I'm actually actively working on my budget so that I don't have, you know, the messy default so that I can be welcoming to people in my home and things like that. So,
that leads on to a question, but I just want to take a step back about your three things you've learned, because it struck me when you talked about having you like solving problems. And then when you started telling the type of people you like, you talked about people who were afraid. People who I can't remember what it was now, but there were people to me. The first thought that came to my head were people who had a challenge that was almost a problem. That made sense.
Yeah.
So, and your storytelling, I'm not saying it fixes them, but it's like a part of the problem solving.
It is.
You know, and that's what came to mind when you said, because you know, I wasn't sure you were going to go with the people you liked, but you talked about being afraid or being angry. I'm like, well, those are all people with, dare I say, problems in italics, almost with problems. Yeah. And that with your storytelling, you help to fix or problem solve, should I say, not fix, problem solve.
And oh my gosh, that's a beautiful connection. But yeah, that is, for me, that's exactly what transformative storytelling is. Yeah. It is giving people the tools to be their own answer, to solve their own problems, which is why my company is called Be Your Own Answer.
Yes. Yes.
So I hope to give people, through transformative storytelling, a playful yet challenging way to solve the myriad of challenging situations that come our way in life.
I love that. And then my question, I was going to be after the last one now, because when you said the last thing about your messiness, my question would be, what would you say your imperfections, and how do you embrace them?
Okay, say that again.
What would you say your imperfections,
And my imperfections.
And how do you embrace
them? Oh my God.
And how do you embrace them? Because we have them.
Oh my gosh. I love my imperfections. They are not going anywhere. Here's what I have. I love my imperfections. Like, there's so many. But for anybody who, I don't even know about erasing the imperfections. I'm not really about that kind of thing.
Oh, no, I said embracing them, not erasing them. Embracing them.
Oh, I thought you said erasing them. I apologize.
Embracing them.
Oh, embracing them. Okay, yeah. So how do I embrace my imperfections? Going back to the transformative storytelling, the reason that the imperfection that you have is there.
Yeah.
And if you understand that, again, your joy is useful.
Yes.
If you have an imperfection, it's going to encourage you to find the way to, if it's something that's affecting your job, if it's something that's affecting your relationships, if it's something that's affecting whatever it is that you do, you're going to find a way to ease that imperfection.
Right.
You know, the strength is made is made witness in weakness, right?
Yeah.
So I think the thing about our imperfections is we need to be very clear that we are not on the planet by ourselves.
Yeah.
And so if I am not on the planet by myself and, say for instance, I tend to be a little messy. Well, goodness, I get to hire somebody, you know? And so there is somebody who, it is their honor and their pleasure to organize.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It is their honor and their pleasure to organize. It is their honor and their pleasure. They are like, oh my gosh. And I went to the Container Store, which is a place that we have here. I don't know if you have a place where you are.
I do know right. The Container Store.
Okay, so you understand.
Yes.
So this person, they love the Container Store. They have like their own account at the Container Store.
Yeah.
And they can find a container for whatever it is that you need to make your house look delightful and gleaming.
Okay.
And my goodness, if I was not a messy person, what would this person do?
Yeah.
How could this person make a living with the thing that they enjoy if I was just saying, we live on the planet with other people for a reason.
Yes. Yeah.
So everything has a way for us to be connected to one another. Everything has a reason for being. Okay. So if you're beating yourself up, you're wasting your energy. You need to find another punching bag.
Excellent. So Narissa, my last couple of questions now.
Sure.
What's your definition of success?
Joy.
Lovely.
Pure freedom. Peace.
Yeah.
Joy, freedom, and peace. Those three.
Excellent.
Joy, freedom, and peace.
Excellent. And lastly, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
Oh my goodness. So the name of my company is Be Your Own Answer. And so being my own hero is everything about not waiting for someone to recognize who you are and your value and understanding that you have your own power. And the power doesn't have to be something big and magnificent and overwhelming.
Yes.
But it is the power to make mental choices about how you're going to have an experience.
Okay.
If you understand that, these are some mental choices that we make. These are some soul choices that we make. If you're caring for yourself, then the world will reflect that around you. But if you're not caring for yourself, then you're not going to see anything except, you know, your own. Well, I don't even know what the other word is for redemption, but the thing that is the opposite of redemption, I would say.
Okay.
You know, so I if you don't care for yourself, you're going to see destruction.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, be your own hero has everything to do with caring for yourself. And everybody, as we said before,
yeah,
everybody is going to reflect back to you the position and the sense of being that you have for yourself.
Right. 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 Lovely. Lovely. Well, that was my last question, Larissa. So I put you out of misery. So thank you so much for your time. If people want to connect with you or get in touch with you, is there a way they can do that?
Sure. BeYourOwnAnswer.com is the blog that has interesting information, has a link to the book, 31 Days of Yes.
Okay.
NarissaStreet.com, info@NarissaStreet.com. And so to spell Narissa, it would be N as in Nancy, E-R-I, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, A, Street, like the road. So NarissaStreet.com. And I'm on all of the social medias except for Snapchat, although they're telling me, my teen girls are telling me I need to be on Snapchat.
I just can't do it. that's a whole different story. It's definitely made for teenagers, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes,
but
I'm supposed to put links
in the show notes, Narissa. So if anybody wants to get hold of you, they can do so. So I just
want
to thank you so much for your time this evening.
Oh, Janice, it has been such a delight speaking with you. The questions were very insightful, and I can only imagine that your listeners are taking a lot of value from the time that you've taken to interview women like us. So I appreciate it, and thank your listeners for listening in as well.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Narissa. And right now, I still have images of ripe, juicy mangoes. She definitely was a mango fanatic. So what I like to do right now is head over to my Facebook page. I am Janice Sutherland, as I want us to be able to stay connected outside of the podcasts. This is where I post information, whether it's about new episodes or about the events that I have planned over the next couple of months. And I'm really going to be excited. I'm really excited to share with you some new things I'm doing. And I want to be able to keep in touch because I might not be able to discuss them over the podcast. There'll be some things up exclusively to my email list and my Facebook page. So head on over to my page. I am Janice Sutherland. And as I said, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. And I'll speak to you next week. And until then, be bold, be fearless, be phenomenal, be you. Until next time.